Southern accents, not one that I'm familiar with particularly, but that's okay. That's okay indeed. It's 10 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Friday, and I mentioned to you at the start of the show that I would be in conversation this morning with a man who knows more about beds than I think anyone else, certainly that I know, and probably that you know too, but he's got much more to his life's experience than simply beds. And it's a huge welcome to you again. Prasanth Sivanarayan is in the house on the Dave Charles Show. This is good to be with you on a Friday. And I'd like to ask you to begin with, for those that don't know you, how would you introduce yourself?
Well, Dave, thanks for... They didn't tell me how to prepare for this, so just said come over. So I actually haven't had a chance to actually consider all of this, but...
But you probably know yourself quite well by now.
Yeah, I can talk about I've never actually been asked that question before, but I would consider myself to be somebody who's a well-balanced person, I assume, but obviously people wouldn't agree with that. But yeah, I think... I've actually never considered that question before.
It's a good one.
It's actually a thought-provoking one.
Everyone that has the opportunity for a little bit of introspection finds exactly the same thing. Who am I?
Yeah.
If I have to describe myself in a very sort of condensed form, that's an interesting thing. So maybe if one digs a little deeper and goes back and says, where did your life journey begin?
You know, I think... answering as you're talking, I just thought to myself, I think I've kind of evolved as a person, and once you don't attach yourself to an identity, you allow yourself the opportunity to evolve and grow. I've kind of got to the stage right now where I'm somebody who loves living in the present. I don't believe that anything's impossible. I think life is one big set of endless possibilities, and it's what you make out of it. In fact, I just thought about something I had a chat with a friend of mine yesterday, and I believe in living your authentic life. And if we all live in this world the way we all live in the same world, but each and every one of us sees it very differently. So having said that, you know, things have got to make sense to you. Yeah. And you're only as big as your dreams. If you could call it that, and talking about sleep as well. I mean, you're only as big as your dreams. And live your authentic self. And, you know, people often say act with integrity. I have a problem with the way act with integrity sounds. I actually believe living in integrity is the most important thing.
You know what you say is very, very profound. I was listening to someone who was talking about the end of life because they were diagnosed with a terminal disease. And they were saying how terrible some advice is that you're given. Like... live each day like it's your last. She said that was terrible advice because you were like every day was an occasion to and not to miss a moment. She said that was exhausting. And her interpretation of what makes sense is pretty much what you were saying. Live each day as if it's your first.
100%.
How cool is that?
100%. And when you live your truth, it's almost that you don't feel guilty about anything. And I think lots of illnesses and things starts with a conflict of you believe one way in one thing and you actually act in a totally different manner. So I believe that if you look at everything with a fresh pair of eyes and you add your authenticity to it, I think it's a phenomenal place to be in. You know,
where did you grow up?
Okay, I grew up in a place called Mierbank in Durban. And that's where we started. I was fortunate enough to grow into a family, to be born into a family that's full of entrepreneurs. My great grandfather came down to South Africa, manufacturing late in the late 1800s, manufacturing furniture and sweets, Indian sweets. And
it's quite a combination, furniture and sweets.
Exactly. I think one of the oldest surviving furniture manufacturers today is my granddad's company, which he started. My uncle runs at this point. And it's probably around 90 years old.
Wow.
And it based in KZN as well. And so that's where we come from. And my grandfather was an amazing man. I mean, he passed on in the early 90s, 91, but I still have people talking about him. You know, he was a great guy, the most simple, down-to-earth person I knew. And he was one of my favorite people.
Would you say that he was your mentor and inspiration?
Yeah, you know, from his kindness and his compassion as a person, I often identify with that. And then I had the privilege of being born into my family, which was my parents. I mean, my dad is arguably one of the most amazing people I know from an entrepreneurship perspective. He taught me things that, I mean, it got to a stage where I'd walk into a meeting and I'd know what he was thinking. And that type of experience you don't really get. It just comes. You're born with it. And he was always... My dad was always a person larger than life, believing nothing was impossible.
Yeah. Do you think that they put some seriously heavy expectations on you as a kid?
100%. And I must tell you now, I mean, I hope he doesn't hear this interview. But
I think he might.
No, but I promise you, he pushed me to be the best version of myself. And really, it's some people fail at it, but... even if I was sick, my dad was an entrepreneur. He was a doctor. He was everything. He could fix everything. Not really a doctor, but if you're sick, well, here, take two Panados and get to work. You know, if you're sick, you're like weak. You know, you don't. And I think that helped me grow into the person that I like who I am at this point in time. And I think that was what was important. And then you had the perfect combination. My mother, she's somebody that says very little, but she literally, the words of wisdom that come out of her mouth is amazing. I mean, up until now, every day I drive to work, and for a few minutes, I actually take the time off to call her, and we have these long chats on the way to work and just talking about life in general. And yeah. I think I had a perfect balance of that. And
but you're very lucky that it worked out for you, because I have spoken to many friends, particularly Indian friends, that have said the expectations that were placed on me and the pressure as a kid, I was I was really achieving well on that, and that wasn't good enough. If I got 90%, they would say, what happened to the other 10% in maths? Yeah. Let's put you through tuition. So they got on top of that, and it became almost for some,
yes,
too much pressure.
Yeah.
In your case, it obviously was a lot of pressure, but it delivered a little bit like the tempering of metal in the fire.
Yeah,
you either crack and break or you become really strong.
Well, everything's a choice. I mean, okay, I didn't have that problem in school because I failed most of the time. I was terrible. I was terrible. I mean, if I just passed, my parents would throw a party, you know? No, but seriously, I actually think that forced you, because whilst we were there were these obstacles. I mean, my dad really, I hated how he treated me while growing up, but now I love it because I wouldn't have been the person that I am. And I can understand where he from that position, they just want you to succeed. That's it.
Yeah.
And to be the best version of yourself. And I was fortunate enough. I mean, and also what didn't help was the fact that I was a middle child. I had I've got a sister, amazing. She's one of the most balanced people I know. And she's older than me, and I've got a younger brother. And so I was a typical middle child. And my sister was always an absolute performer. I actually cannot recall a time when my parents were actually upset with my sister. I mean, she's like the most perfect person I've ever met. And I've got a niece and nephew, who are part of my life. I mean, I love them to bits. My niece is getting married this weekend.
So,
yeah. And I've got a younger brother, amazing guy. He knows more than Google does. I mean, he has this wealth of knowledge.
So you've been blessed in many ways to have grown up in a family that is rooted in entrepreneurial excellence. The company that you now head is representative of that, and your Blue Rock organization. As I say, you know more about beds than anyone else I've ever met, and you're passionate, and that's probably one of the reasons that your company is so strong. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the chat. But right now, I want to get back into the personal stuff. We generally ask for your song choice when we have a special guest on the Dave Charles Show, because songs tell lots about people and say lots about people. And so one of the choices that you've come up with is a tune called Forever Young. I've pulled out the original Bob Dylan version. What does it mean to you? Why did you choose it?
Well, you know, I actually never quite chose to understand the lyrics, but I understood the fact that had the words "Forever Young," it was something that resonated with me. And from a very young age, I think when I heard it, I just liked it. And for me, it represented just getting up each day and, you know, you're never too old to have a happy childhood.
I think it's an absolute blessing, this song, and you're quite right. The lyrics are profound. A lot of folk have never listened to the lyrics because it's just a bit of a catchy tune. But it is a stunningly profound reminder that no matter what life throws at you, no matter how much water under the bridge, don't let the old man in. Huh?
Yeah.
Stay forever young. Forever young. Personal choice of my special guest this morning. Prasanth Sivanarayan is a businessman of epic proportion and a good friend to Radio Life and Style. And I'm delighted to have him on my show this morning, talking not so much business, but more personal. We'll get into a little bit of business, I think, shortly. But Prasanth, you mentioned something that while we were having a moment listening to one of your musical choices there, which is fairly profound. You mentioned the fact that you considered that you, because you at school and at home were considered to be a little bit different, you realized that well, you were different. You effectively were almost genius with your IQ at the, you know, crazy high, but battled with ordinary things. Like if something didn't interest you, you just tuned out. That's typical at school. It's typical ADHD. So clearly you and so many others like you that are highly intelligent have this neurodivergence, as it's called these days, which, if it's properly managed, you just reach for the stars.
From that point, superpower.
If it's not properly managed, it's a pathway to disaster. Drug abuse, alcoholism, you know, all of the ills. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, fair. Definitely. So I'll tell you, flanked on either side of me, I had a sister who was considered a genius, and so was my brother. And my grades were shocking at school. I mean, I wasn't interested. My parents sent me to a psychologist to have an aptitude test done, and they came back and said, look, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it. They said I should be performing in the top percentile of the country. And then my dad said, no, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, so send you to somebody else. And then they came up with the same thing. So it wasn't that. It was the fact that when all of this happened, we didn't know about ADHD at that time, or Ritalin and things like that. And they just said, no, it's just lazy.
Yeah.
And
which is fairly typical. And unfortunately, so much talent is lost, lost to the system, shall we say, because it's not identified and it's not managed. There's ways of managing these things. And clearly, you're an example.
Well, I don't know. Your jury's out on the matter. But I must say, but the one thing I do appreciate was my mother read a lot. And she was she is somebody who's very aware of stuff. And I mean, she was doing things like the grape diet in the 80s and all of those things that we haven't heard of. And she was very progressive in her way of thinking. And she actually then started managing our diet. And it was crazy. I used to laugh at her, and it had to be a balanced diet. And I used to make a joke with her. And still, till today, we do it. I said, Mom, how many lamb chops am I going to have today? Because I'm going to have my vegetables with it and all of those things, you know? But she limited sweets and all of those things. And I think that all of that in her own way helped me out a lot. But still, I mean, when I realized that there was a solution like Ritalin and things, I decided not to go for it. And it was because when you're aware of something, you can deal with it. And I just felt that we're all born with what we need to fulfill our life's purpose. And by interfering with that, you somehow move away from where you're supposed to be. And I think had I done things, I mean, for me, my superpower to me is probably more creative, from a marketing perspective, being able to see patterns and trends. And more often than not, I get it wrong. It does happen, but my timing's completely off. But having said that, I actually think it's important to just be aware of what it is. And once we're aware, we can make those changes that we need to. But also, look at what life's pushing you, where you're getting pushed towards. Because very often it's a redirection, what you're going. And I was fortunate enough to know that I wanted to do business. I mean, growing up in my family that I did with the I mean, I come from a business family. And obviously, growing up and spending a lot of time growing up with my father at the factory, and it started off there from where Kiran Sales Lilacs Bedding was started by my dad, actually. Very early on, I knew what I wanted to do. So that helps a hell of a lot.
When you talk about knowing what you wanted to do, and clearly you've gone into business, you've made a huge success and continuing to grow in all sorts of directions, because you're not only involved in the bed world, I know you've got a few other irons in the fire. What to you is the definition of success?
A lot of people say find your passion. And in every single thing you do, there's going to be a time you don't like it. That doesn't mean to say you should quit. I think we far too often get into a situation and we're looking 20 years down the line. And if something doesn't go well now, it's all about living in that moment. And it was very interestingly, about a year and a half ago, I was asked to talk to 80 female entrepreneurs in Pretoria. And I walked in and talked about having imposter syndrome. There were 8 other ladies talking, and then there was me at the end. I was the only guy there. And in my opinion, people spoke about balance and all of those things. And I don't think balance is actually what it is. I actually think if you immerse yourself in what you're doing, that's all you need to do. And you've got to work 50% harder to be 5% better.
Wow.
And I never take any loss personal. I just say, well, you know, I don't believe there's anything good or bad. I think everything happens for you, not to you. My mom always drums that into my head. So, and more often than not, it's redirection. But out of every single fantastic thing came out of a disastrous situation for me. And so long as you don't hang up your gloves and you pick up your gloves, you haven't lost.
So, for you, is success a destination or is it the journey?
It's a journey. Every single day is a success. And even if it doesn't go the way you want to, you're more aware. You have the knowledge. You know what didn't work. So, every day is a brilliant day in terms of your learning. I mean, none of us are getting out of here alive. You know, we're born here and it's all about enlightening ourselves. And that's kind of the journey that I have. With my inner self, you know.
Are you a spiritual man?
Well, I believe in. Okay. I don't mean to offend anybody. I believe in the message of all religions, but I don't necessarily believe how it's conveyed. I have a fundamental difference with the interpretation of all religions. Every single book was written by a cool of a man, and. The interpretation had to fit a certain social construct that was at that point in time. However, as I said earlier, if each of us have a unique view, experience of this earth that we're all living on, I believe my relationship with my maker is not going to be governed by a book. So I respect all religions, but you know, they say a religion is for those people who are afraid to go to hell. Spirituality is for those who've been there. And I've been through a few situations of hell. So I have a very unique view, but I embrace all cultures. I embrace all traditions. I literally respect every single religion that's out there. When I was at Kersney for a while, I used to go to chapel. When I was homesick, I used to go to my matron's guild. I come from primarily a Hindu background, but my parents were very, very progressive in their way of thinking. And
It's very interesting. People that have Indian heritage have, I think, been blessed because of all of the countries that have been guilty of persecution of minorities, India never, in terms of the Jewish population, for example, it's the only country in the world that has never allowed persecution of the Jewish population in India, yeah. which I think is absolutely awesome. So there is clearly a deep cultural acceptance of many roads, one all leading to the same kind of destination, which we won't get into now. It's much too deep a subject for 2 minutes. Yeah. But it's interesting because clearly it speaks to your values as a successful individual, a successful businessman, a successful human being. But segueing back into the business arrangement, because we know that Kieran Sales and Blue Rock and Serta and Lilacs, and your bed industry is well established and top of the pops, converting people to buying mattresses online because of the opportunity that and the advantage that comes with that. Well, that is something that is innovative and exciting, and you have cracked it. But you do other stuff as well. Tell us about that.
Okay, so my journey started I'm giving away my age here, in 1992 when I just I'd matriculated.
You're a child.
A child. So I matriculated and I just barely passed at that point in time. I think my parents were just happy that I passed. I wasn't quite interested in studying. I did did a marketing and business management course and all of those things, but I went straight into the factory. Even during my childhood years, I would just love going into my father's factory. And so I was there from 92 to 99, where my dad was start on the factory floor.
I could work
every single machine better than anybody else. Nobody, until today, nobody can tell me anything about it, because I always say to my team, make sure you know more than me, because the day I know more than you, I don't need you. But I will always make sure I know more than you. So it's almost, and that's what keeps us progressing. So I started on there, and in 1999, we were presented with an opportunity to start a company called iTalk Cellular. Back in the day, we started iTalk in May 1999. I just turned 25 at that point. So we started off iTalk, and I took over position of CEO and iTalk in 2001. So I started as sales director in terms of, in about 2001, I became CEO of the company. And iTalk was phenomenal. It was an MVNO type operation. MTN were our partners. And ultimately, I mean, we started the things that did the bundle. So what had happened was, at a point in time, because we were so small, we weren't getting all the latest and greatest handsets. Because, it was a phone. Buy a phone, get a contract, and that's it. But also what had happened was, because we were exclusive MTN, we had all the other, like AutoPage was huge, and Nashua Mobile was huge at that time. And they all sold all three networks. All we did was sell MTN. And very often, because we were so small, we wouldn't get the stocks that we wanted. And it was very, because demand outstripped supply at that point. But when we started the industry, it was kind of balancing out. So what I did was, I thought, well, because everybody's just going product price, and obviously those companies that had three networks, Vodacom, MTN, and Cell C, each one would throw extra money at them to push their product, but we just had one supplier, being MTN. So that's when we came out with these bundles, where I did a deal where you buy a phone and get a free return airline ticket to anywhere, Europe, Mumbai, or Dubai.
Wow.
With Qatar Airways. And I did all of these fantastic deals, and that created a whole new way of buying a cell phone, where at some point the value that you extracted from there was actually, you'd have 24 months to pay it off, and it was still less than what you'd ordinarily pay for the ticket up front. And we did stuff with vouchers with Hi-Fi Corporation. We did big screen TVs. We did the first Porsche giveaway.
Wow.
So iTalk was just like literally next level in terms of what we did. We punched above our weight class. People thought we were bigger than we actually were. And in 2009... It was quite challenging, and we decided, oh, maybe it's time to exit the business. So at that point in time, we exited the business. We sold out iTalk to MTN, And then I delved in a bit of IT stuff. We're creating some software for instant messaging, kind of like WhatsApp was doing, but with voice notes and things like that. And that seemed to be going okay. I spent a lot of time in the south of France then. And at that point in time, the opportunity came through where we were partners and sponsors for the Montpellier rugby team.
Wow.
So I was actively involved in that for like 2 years. And then obviously, we had a redirection and I had a team from India, had a team in Bangalore creating all of the stuff. And then obviously, world economy took a bit of a hiding and things, and then we decided okay to redirect our business interests, got back to South Africa, and then I had a quick stint with Playboy. I used to own the rights for Playboy for Africa and India for the consumer products, and at that point in time we started the electronic cigarettes, the vaping part of it, and it was phenomenal. But we had an issue with quality coming in into the country, the quality of the product, and we weren't prepared to take a chance on some of the quality that was coming through. So we got rid of that. There was a whole litigation process and things. So I learned a lot about litigations. I learned about everything. I mean, at a young age, so it was very interesting. And then I got back and got into the family business as well. And I just looked at it, and as I say, you have to immerse yourself. There's always an opportunity to improve everything. I mean, I recall somebody saying to me once that at one point in time, somebody from I'm not sure if it was one of the presidents or one of the ministers in America said in the 60s that everything after they went to the moon, everything that can be invented has been invented. And I mean, look at where we've come through now. So it's all about how you look at things. It's all about perspective. And
I get a feeling that your journey has only just begun. If you think about what you've done so far, I can't wait to see how it unfolds. Where to in 5 years?
So look here, I'm so interested in bedding, and it's where my journey started. But I'd also had the luxury of traveling extensively abroad, and I genuinely believe that I don't know what's going to come out of this, but I can genuinely tell you now, what we've done on the bedding side is literally changing the way the world buys beds. I mean, think about it. We're asking the difficult questions, and I'm doing it at the expense of being targeted by a lot of people who cannot offer the technologies that we're doing. See, it's very simply this. When I joined the business in 1992, we were a small business. We always made good quality products. Our products were not cheap, they were affordable. And because of the market that the way it was at that point in time, whatever part of the segment that, you had to supply the segment that was available to you. We weren't as big as that at that point in time, the AFCOLs and the SA Breweries and all of those things that owned furniture and bedding manufacturers. We were very small. But the one thing that happened is when I walked into the business, I said to my dad, "Dad, why don't we have a research and development department?" And he said, "Son, you don't need that. You just need to make beds with a conscience. If it's not good enough for your parents or your kids to sleep in, it's not good enough for anybody." And that's kind of stuck with us. So I believe that you have to do things that's in line. You have to be responsible in the manner in which you do things. And for me, that's very important.
Well, I salute you. What you have achieved so far is awesome. I look forward to watching the next couple of years, because I'm sure that you are going to be at the forefront of great development in not only the world of beds and bedding, which is an incredibly interesting world, and we need to have another chat about that. I mean, you're probably born on a bed, you'll probably die on a bed, and you'll spend most of your life lying on a bed. Yeah. And it's, where you go to in your dreams. This is another thing. Every night you shut down. And what happens to you during that? Well, there's some magic, there's some mystery, there's some imagination. But generally speaking, it's probably one of the most important acquisitions that you'll ever make. A good bet. Well, we don't have time to get into it right now. However, if you would like to explore more of what my special guest, Prasanth, is all about, where would one be able to connect with your Kieran Sales and Blue Rock?
Okay, so let me tell you, the one important thing is people need to understand why. Why should somebody buy a Lilac Certa bed? Why should we go online and buy? And what are you doing that's different? Or not even different, unique, but how's it going to add value to you?
Yeah, what's in it for me? So, everyone wants to know.
So what we decided to do is, and just very quickly on what we're doing, the journey, we came up with this concept of the future of sleep. And it came about where we took two existing spring systems and we merged them. So we did a design patent. So there was a debate, which is the better spring system, support system in the early 2000s, pocket coil or mirror coil? So what we did is, you probably recall that ad with the bowling ball onto a spring unit. But what, I wouldn't say misled, but what the public saw was, because they saw pins not falling on this pocket, they thought, wow, that's amazing. In actual fact, pocket technology is brilliant, don't get me wrong. But what it actually shows you is limited partner movement. That's all it's an indication of. It's not an indication of quality. It's not an indication of spinal alignment and support and all of those things. But having said that, so the ad that we didn't see in South Africa was in the US, where Certa then did a comparison with the mirror coil spring system, which was exclusive to Certa. And at that point in time, when they did the same ad, a comparative ad, they found that the pins had fallen as the ball got closer to it on the pocket, but it didn't on the mirror coil. And then Certa said, we make the world's best mattress. But at this point in time, in 1999, we were obviously given the rights to manufacture Certa for sub-Saharan Africa at that point. And I think up until 2 years ago, we're the only Certa licensee on the continent. So, but what I actually saw by that is, I said, well, even all springs are not developed the same. The fact that that pocket moved down, it gives you, it enhances your comfort a lot more. But the mirror coil gives you better support. And that was when we merged the two.
So you combined both top technologies into a world beater, and that's where the journey really begins.
And yes,
if
yes,
we
yes.
had more time, we could unpack it more. But we know we can't.
Yeah, yeah. No.
And it's been an absolutely fascinating journey. The conversation has been lovely. If you only just joined us and you missed it, don't worry. It's going to go up as a podcast, and the video is going to be available on all of our platforms very shortly. But right now, if you are keen to explore the world of this technology that Prasanth and his team are so expertly creating, pop along to, where is the store? You've got an outside broadcast happening today.
So yes, so we've got an outside broadcast at our store at Outlet Park. So come in and have a look at the technologies out there. When you understand your journey about how to buy a bed and what to look for, as I said, don't buy any of our products if you don't want to, but just know what questions to ask and to be aware of what you're looking for.
Because the best is available now to you anywhere in the world, but particularly in South Africa. Yes. And you can buy it online as well. How fantastic is that?
Yeah.
My very special guest, Prasanth Sivamurayan, thank you so much for joining me on the Dave Charles Show.
Thank you, Dave. Thanks.
And we're playing out with one of your favorite tunes. It's the Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits.
That's correct. That's right. Thank you.